message tonight. I don't know what all is going to happen tonight, but I feel something. I can't even articulate it, but when I start feeling something, then I start anticipating, and then I want it to happen. Anybody ever, you just feel something, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, then you start feeling it for long enough, and then you're like, okay, I want this to happen, and then you almost just start pushing. So, like, I'm very eager to really minister tonight, and I'm praying that even prophetic words would come out for you. How many, if you're anything like me, like, you like a prophetic word? You love it when a prophetic word is like, how do I say this? It's like, a prophetic word is like my love language. You know, like, if you give me a prophetic word, like, that just made my day. Like, because all of a sudden now hope has been deposited into your spirit, and now you know and you can anticipate something because you know that something's coming down the way. Amen? And so I always want to get excited when it comes to God wanting to speak something specific to each and every one. So as I preach this, I want to be sensitive to it and hopefully get there sooner than later. Just one really quick scripture in this series that we're doing. We're talking about the last seven words, as they call it, or the last seven phrases that Jesus spoke while on the cross. And so let me just read this, and then I'll kind of go into a little bit of an intro to preface what we're going to be talking about tonight. Real short and sweet tonight, but want to leave some room for ministry. John 19, 26 through 27 says, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. This disciple that we're talking about, and you may have guessed it by now, and it's significant, you may know the story, but the only disciple that made it to the scene of the cross was the apostle John, or the disciple John at the time. And so everyone else was dealing with their own things, were on the run. But there's something significant about John. There's something significant about John where there was a special relationship, and you hear it in the narrative of John's gospel. You'll always hear John say, and I, John, the Lord's favorite, or his, you know, the close one. And he always put himself there. Anybody ever do that? You hear yourself saying that, like, oh, I'm, you know, it's DeAndre, God's favorite. You can say that. You can say that. And, but it's John who had a close relationship. It's John. Because everybody's different. Some people, like, we have Thomas, and I know Thomas gets a bad rap, who would say, I need to see it before I believe it. But I think God's okay with that, and the gospel shows us that God, that Jesus is okay with that, because he even gave him the opportunity, says, now stick your hands in the holes during the resurrection. So he got the name Doubting Thomas, but I like to call him Thorough Thomas, because it's good to be sure. Doesn't everybody want to be sure? I'd rather be sure than remain guessing. I want to be sure. Somebody shout sure. I want to be sure. And then you have Peter, who by far was probably the most zealous, the most outgoing, self-proclaimed bodyguard to Jesus, would cut people, would pull knives on people. I mean, I can just imagine every time I read about Peter, I just think of like a gangster rap song coming on, like when he's like rolling with Jesus, like, what, we got a problem, I'll cut you, you know, because he's just down to do that. But even Peter, the one who would cut somebody for Jesus, would be the first person on record to deny Jesus. So everybody had their relationship issues. Everybody has relationship issues. But here we're going to see a story, and hear a story of how Jesus, how God views relationships, and how he used Jesus to kind of set the tone here. And so I want to entitle this message, Relationships Matter. So if you're taking notes, and you're getting on that first train, you're going to be to heaven early. It's called Relationship Matters. My son, Miles, I think, did we say anything last time? No, we had to run out. Maybe it was like the week before. Let there be light. If I told you no, would you be offended? No, but you guys can turn it on if you want. I just wanted to check because I like to have the liberty to say no. I don't even know what's going on here. There you go. Yeah, just turn one on. It's getting dark. I thought daylight savings was going to help us out. But so Miles, my son, I don't know if Pastor Jen said anything a couple weeks ago, but we are now officially adoptive parents and not foster parents anymore. So that's all moving. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time. but, you know, I got thinking, and as I was reading this story, you know, all throughout the Bible, it talks about, in regards to us in relationship with Jesus, it's adoption. We've been adopted. Anyone who, just to simply say it, like, we were separated, we were born of God, but we were separated through sin at the fall of man with Adam. And so now the only way to get back into the right family or the kingdom is to be adopted in, is to be claimed. And so Jesus claims us. And so like I'm thinking about this and it kind of dawned on me, it's like in reading about it, like this is Jesus' adoption system. When he talks about family, when he says these words on the spot, his last dying words, he says, "Mom, this is now your son. John, this is now your mom. Take care of her." They're not blood. They only had Jesus in common. But we know, as we sit in this room, as we've been able to live out as a church and be a part of a church, this is family. No matter how far spread it gets, you know, some people are really close, some people are not that close. It doesn't matter when you come. If I haven't seen you in a while, it's all good. It's back to normal because we're family. I have one brother who lives in Philadelphia. He makes sure, sometimes he can't, but he just makes sure that, like, Christmas time, one day in December, he just makes it home, you know, and then that's it. And then we won't see him for a year. We talked to him on the phone, of course, but, you know, you have distant people, and then you have, I have brothers and sisters that live close by, so I get to see them a little bit more than that, and my parents out in the East Bay and stuff like that, but they're close, and so Jesus is on a mission here to make sure that as he leaves, because he's leaving, and so he wants to make sure that the closeness sticks. He wants to make sure that in my absence, you guys are still following each other around. You guys are still breaking bread. You guys are still doing what family does. It's easy, and Jesus knows this. It was easy for him to keep everybody together because he was on a mission. He was doing miracles, all these things. He had crowds. People were, you know, skeptical and thought it was a spectacle, and he just was amazing people and healing people. So it was easy to draw the crowd and to keep his crew together, to keep his family together. But in his absence, when he leaves, you have to know that Jesus knew that it could cause people to disperse because now the thrill is gone. The thrill of ministry, the thrill of who Jesus is, like, the thrill's gone. And so in relationships, and this is God speaking to us about relationships, and he's like, look, guys, just take care of one another. And so I want to talk about two things inside of relationship. This is not necessarily like a relationship series kind of message, but I just want to point out a couple of things that God pays attention to. God pays attention to. And then my hope is that as I preach this, that you will kind of double back and think about your relationship with God and be able to mark the moments where he connected with you, where he met your needs, and where he blessed you. So I want to first start out by saying that, and I said this before maybe a few weeks ago, that great relationships are mutually beneficial. Great relationships have mutual responsibility. Great relationships, they just benefit. We benefit from each other. Did you know that God benefits from relationship with us? Sometimes we don't, it's hard to think about that, but, like, you know, when the Bible talks about that God is pleased or he delights, like, those are like fancy King James words, but God is happy with your presence. Just as we are to be happy with his presence, he delights. That's why he delights in the praises of his people. He's not ready for rocks to cry out in place of us. He's not ready for that. He don't want that. He said they will if you don't praise. But he doesn't want that. We're his creation. We're his prize. possession. Anything that you create on purpose, you're going to love. Anything that becomes, we call projects babies. Like, that's my baby. If I'm working on a car, oh, that's my baby. Nobody's driving that thing. That's mine. That's my baby. If I'm working on a project or an album, you know, that's my baby, because you're putting all your blood, sweat, and tears in it, and that's exactly what God put into us. Blood, sweat, and tears. And so relationship is heavy on the brain of God. It's heavy on the mind of God. And I just wanted to, God, through these scriptures, God is showing us in these last words that that forgiveness is heavy on the brain of God. Salvation, our safety, the rescue of his people, us coming back into right relationship with him is heavy on the mind and his heart. And now relationship is heavy on the heart of God. And so relationships matter. I believe that Jesus, and this scripture shows that Jesus thought it was important to establish right here and there the relationship that he desired in his absence. And so it's like parents, when anybody have older children or have had teenagers or whatever. So you remember when they were teenagers? Remember the first day you were actually going to, like, you know, they didn't have to go to daycare and you're going to leave them home alone? What did you do? You set out a list of rules. You're like, look, don't do this. You work through every single scenario. If somebody knocks at the door, run to the back of the house. Don't answer the door. You know, get anything heavy in your hands, hammers and hatchets, whatever you got. Whatever you got in your house. You know, just rules for safety, because you wanted to keep them safe. And so any time, and that's really what it's all about, you give somebody a rule or a warning because you want them to remain safe. And so Jesus is departing, and so he wants us, in regards to our relationships, to remain safe. So he begins to not dictate, but encourage us how it ought to be. And how it ought to be is exactly how it was with him. Jesus made family with everybody who was willing. And so just as he says, look, Mom, take care of John. John, take care of Mom. You guys are family now. I'm going. It's a sad day, but I'm going, but I'm leaving you. I'm always leaving you with something. Jesus always leaves us. He never leaves us empty-handed. He always leaves us with something. And so today, in regards to this, and based on the fact that every relationship has requirements, I want to point out a couple of the requirements that Jesus was pointing out here. And the first one, if you're taking notes, is connection. Connection. Human studies show us that people need human connection. Am I right about it? We need human connection to thrive. I was reading this thing the other day. They didn't say anything about men, and I was laughing because, like, what I'm about to say, like, you know, I feel like that helps me too. But they said about women that women, if they're hugged at least once a day, it doesn't just contribute to the happy hormone or the joy hormone. It y'all ready for this? It gets rid of irritable bowel syndrome. It keeps your heart cholesterol level down. I'm serious. I'm like, this is like Snopes it or something. Like, it's true fact. It just helps. They're like, so the more, for women, because of their, whatever you call it, balance, pH, genetic makeup, y'all need hugs. So y'all ladies just start hugging each other after church. I don't know what we're going to do, fellas, but they didn't say anything about hugs, but I like hugs too. So anyway, so women need hugs, and it attributes to more than just the happy hormone, but it produces good health. So start hugging one another, okay? All y'all ladies, y'all life groups, ladies life groups, just sit there and hug. Like, what did Pastor D preach about? I don't know. Come here, girl. Come here. Just come here. I'm going to get you healthy. Come here, girl. Come here, girl. In fact, this dilemma of connection was even fixed at the very beginning. It's the very first thing God fixed. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he says it like this with Adam. He says, now the Lord saw that it was not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And so in the beginning of it all, God designed us for connection. So I start thinking about connections, and we know that connection sometimes you connect, sometimes you don't connect. You know what I mean? Sometimes, does anybody believe that sometimes connecting is hard? Have you ever been in a season you just felt like, you know, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, but you still just haven't felt the connection with God? And it's true because connection is not a feeling, but it has a feel to it. So you should feel it. So that's why we look to feel a connection. You ever had a conversation with somebody, you're face to face, they spit on your lip, and you didn't feel connected? I was like, bro, thanks, you know. But you still didn't feel connected. Those times happen. It's simply because you just weren't connecting. And so connection then becomes not just proximity, but it becomes more detailed than that. Connection becomes more intrusive, which none of us really like. You've had the conversations where you have to go through 5 minutes of crowbarring around to get in to find out the real deal. Anybody? Or is it just me? Yeah. And so sometimes you just have to use a crowbar, but I'm not afraid of using a crowbar. And I have touch-up paint afterwards, so it'll look good afterwards. But you have to dig in sometimes to make that connection. But I'm a guy, I have to make a connection. As a matter of fact, it frustrates me when I go into a conversation, I'm just like, what just happened? And I didn't make a connection. Sometimes, like, they'll walk away, I'll be like, hey, hold on. I just need to make a connection really quick, something simple, or I'm going to lose sleep over this. But it's important. I think connections are important. So there's two things I want to talk about today is connection and need. Connection, let me continue on with this. Connection is necessary because, just like in Genesis, he said that it's not good that man be alone. There's a high percentage, honestly, it's up in the 90s. I don't know the exact one. But there's a high percentage all over the world of lonely people. It's probably one of the highest percentages of anything measured. There's a lot of lonely people, but then even people who are in relationships, have a ton of friends, are the popular one, have people come over to their house all the time, yet they're still lonely. Why? Because proximity doesn't determine connection. And so what does determine connection, which is hard for all of us to do, is intimacy. And so something that I've been learning over the past 2 months, well, over the past 10 years as I'm a married person, but, like, you know, intimacy doesn't just pop up on the radar. Intimacy is intentional. Intimacy is planned. Intimacy is thought through and determined. Because if you don't determine intimacy, intimacy will disappear and become a ghost in your house. It becomes something that you're always looking for, but it's not there. And so you have to keep intimacy. The other thing is that true intimacy, and I've learned this, just in relationships and in the appropriate way, intimacy in friendships and stuff like that, you know, confiding in, you know, brothers confiding in each other, and that stuff. That's hard to do too, you know. It's hard because it always, even though you know you have friends, it always feels like a gamble, wondering if somebody's going to hold your secrets in the secret place. Because it's not this message, but because we have trust issues with that as well. And so when you have trust issues, when you have offense issues, and you have forgiveness issues, and all kinds of issues, it's hard to make connections. It's hard to keep that connection with God. So God and Jesus had a conversation in John chapter 17. Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing, this is like just normal language, but God and Jesus are talking. And Jesus is like, hey, Dad, I feel like I want to establish what me and you have with the people down here, with my brothers and my sisters down here. I feel like, and I see it, I know that they need it. I wish they had what I have. Me and you are one, so I wish that me and them would be one, and you and them would be one. So let's get on doing that. And the only way to establish that was through salvation, was Jesus dying on the cross for us. And so inside of every connection and inside of every relationship, there's sacrifice. Somebody has to sacrifice. we have to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed for us. In order to take that and walk into that and step into that, then we have to sacrifice what we love and cherish and pleasure. And so, like I said before, every relationship is mutual, mutually beneficial, and has mutual responsibilities. And so, Jesus is saying, hey, in my absence, because I fulfilled connection here on the earth, I had everybody feeling connected, whether they believed in me or not. Everybody just came to the, you know, it didn't matter if it was Pharisees or disciples. We were all in the same place at the same time. There was connection there, talking about the same topics, whether it was against or for. Jesus was able to bring people together. So Jesus wanted to make sure that he could bring people together. So my questions out of that one point is, have you ever felt disconnected from God? And then after talking about it with you for a moment, the new question arises, are you doing everything in your power to connect with him? That's your takeaway homework today. Do you feel like you're disconnected from God? Maybe it's time to time. Sometimes it's up and down. But do you feel that you're doing everything in your power to connect with him? And then the second one, I said I wouldn't be here too long, and I just want to really minister around this and just pray for some people tonight. The next one is needs. Somebody shout needs. No matter what you do, no matter what you tell yourself in the mirror or convince yourself of before you rest your head at night, you have needs. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor in the eye. Look at the cute one. And be like, hey, sorry. Hey, you have needs. You have needs. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. You can't hurdle it. You can't go under it. You can't go through it. You have needs. And so needs, and we know this, needs get kind of a bad rap. You know, because if somebody has too many needs, they get labeled needy. I got my people over here. They know. They're finishing my sentences, you know. I'm preaching now. If people have too many needs or they expose or they wear their needs on their shoulders, because everybody's different, they become needy. And then all of a sudden we don't want to have anything to do with their needs. But at the end of the day, after we walked away from them, they still have needs. Needs. You know, everybody's got different needs, you know. Married people have needs. Single people have needs. Men have needs. Women have needs. Moms have needs. Sometimes that needs is just to get out of the house and wait for the children. Somebody shout amen. That would have made me run around the church. No, I love my kids. And I know you love yours too. Sorry. I love my kids, Bianca. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, when you're in a small setting like this, like it's like a comedy club, you might get dimed out. That's why nobody sits on the front row, because you're like, hey, what you wearing? Okay. Don't get clowned. But we all have needs. Here's something about needs, though. Here's something about needs. And you find this in the story of Ruth. Ruth goes down in history as noble, faithful, and consistent. Do you agree? Yeah, noble, faithful, and consistent in regards to relationships. And the Bible says that Ruth clung to Naomi while Orpah walked away, said goodbye. The Bible says Orpah said goodbye to Naomi while Ruth clung to Naomi. And so I believe, just in that sense, reading that story, the first part of Ruth, is that everyone needs a Ruth in their life. Everyone needs a Ruth, because that's, allow me to use it like this, like as a Ruthism, but everyone needs a Ruth, and a Ruth is actually a common need that everyone in this room has. We all need someone to be faithful to us, unconditional with us. You know, that friend that you can tell. I asked one of our leaders, I said, because we were talking about connection and actually how we're assimilating people into this church and, you know, the word on the street at this church and the buzz that I hear when I ask people, I say, you know, what keeps you coming back, or what's one thing that you liked about this church? And you know, they just said, the kindness of the people. Like, it's just so nice, didn't really expect that. You know, it just feels like everybody talks to everybody. Like, you don't get passed up unless you are someone who, you know, at my closing prayer just goes, you know, and goes. But like, other than that, which is totally cool, other than that, like, you won't get passed up here. And so, so we're like Ruth to people. We're connect with people. We're faithful with connecting with people. And so I asked one of our leaders who does assimilation, and I said, I asked her, who's your best friend? And she was like, I don't know. So, and she's not from this state, so before anybody gets offended when your name doesn't get called, who's her best friend? She's from Ohio via Michigan via Arizona, and so she's had best friends, so nobody get hurt. But so I asked her, I said, well, who's your best friend? She said, Shantae, right? I said, well, She said, I don't know. I said, well, okay, who would you go to if, like, you just robbed a bank and were on the run and you needed someone to call for a getaway car? Something like to that degree. And she said, Shantae. Why? Because Shantae is a safe place. And look, I know this is church, but, like, I'm just talking about real friendships. Real friendships will put a blanket over your sin for a minute and then pull it back and say, now we need to get rid of this, but for now, while you're on the run, before you talk to God tonight, I'm gonna put a blanket over sin, because love covers, you know? And so you know, what we were trying to define was, how did you know that that was a safe place? And so she would say things like, well, it's mutual. I benefit, she benefits. There's a gain. There's a deposit. There's a love deposit, you know? Like, she doesn't just withdraw from me. You know, she doesn't make the account go into the red. You know, like, she's constantly depositing, I'm constantly depositing, so our accounts are full, and we're able to draw upon it and take what we need. And so taking is mutual while giving is mutual. There's a give and take to that. And so Ruth, I just wanted to kind of establish that kind of relationship. Ruth was faithful and consistent, and the Bible says that she clung to Naomi, and everyone needs a Ruth. Ruths, if you have a Ruth, Ruths, by their actions, meet needs of others. So here's how it, even talking about generosity, here's how it breaks down. Ruth decided in herself that she had a need that wasn't really said in the scriptures. But the reason why she stayed with Naomi is because she didn't have anything to go back to. So she had a need. But so she thought to herself, since I have a need, this is when you and recognize good character. I have a need, so the need I have, I'm going to go be that for someone. Because, and then it becomes mutual. I get to meet her need, and she gets to meet my need. So we benefit from it. Did you know that God wants you to benefit? Like, benefit is not a bad word. It's not the B word. You know, like, you can benefit. And God has set things up in your life so that you would benefit. There's a scripture in Psalms, I can't even quote it right now, but it talks about you getting benefits. It actually just says it, like, you're going to get benefits. Keep meditating on the Lord. Keep sticking with this relationship. Even when it's hard, you're going to benefit from it. And so God shows us this inside of relationships, because if you haven't noticed by now, everything revolves around relationships. You work, there's a work relationship. You're married, there's a marriage relationship. People have relationships with their cars. People have relationships with the road. We call that road rage. They have relationships. We have relationships with just about everything, you know. We have love-hate relationships. You know, we're like Sour Patch Kids. We're sweet on you, and then we're bitter. Then it just hits you right there, you know. It just turns violent all of a sudden. It's love-hate relationships, you know. But... And so, let me finish with Ruth. So Ruth had a need, and so she provided a need by sticking with Naomi. And then through that, her needs were met. And then, somehow, supernaturally, and here's the principle. When you have a need, God is saying, go and meet somebody else's need. Give, and it will be given back to you. Judge not, lest you be judged. So don't judge people. And you won't be judged. It's mutually beneficial. It's cool, right? I don't judge you. You won't judge me. We're good. sow into relationships, into the needs of people, like somebody sowed, and I don't even know if it was like, I can't even say it was like a dire need, but it was just like, oh my gosh, like, it was a need of thoughtfulness that, like, you know, just let you know people are thinking of you and are willing to be that generous, you know? And, yeah. And so, and then after all of that, Ruth meets Naomi's need. It's fulfilling to Ruth. I don't even know if Naomi is set to fulfill Ruth's needs, but just by being there and having a mother, someone to call mother because she didn't have one anymore, that was a fulfillment of Ruth's needs. And then when you're fulfilling needs, here's the principle. When you have a need and you go to fulfill another need, when you become selfless and say, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to fulfill your need, all of a sudden you get put into this category of candidate for extreme blessing. You become a candidate for some of the biggest blessings of your life when you get involved with generosity and you start serving people, your needs will get met. And then enter Boaz. Segue to conversations with single people. Once upon a time, Pastor Sandy, who's here, and when Pastor Jeff was alive before he passed, they were singles pastors at our old church. And so, and this is like, you know, this is what happens when you're friends. You know, you just get told, like, hey, you're leading worship for us. You know, and it's just like that. I'm like, sure, it's all good. You know, and I think maybe I was there. Their ministry worked because I was serving them, and I was, like, single under that ministry for, like, a year and a half. And then I met Jen, so I was like, do I still have to come? I'll lead worship, but I ain't single no more. I'm trying to hear what y'all talking about. So you have a need, you give a need, you help somebody out with their need, and then your greatest needs get met. She wasn't looking for Boaz. She didn't know Boaz was coming, but Boaz was looking. And so in conversations with single people, it becomes this, like you have conversations with single people, and if they're Christian for too long, they'll start praying, Lord, where's my Boaz, you know? And I think that's a great prayer, and I'm not knocking it, because I'm praying for y'all's Boaz, too. You know, get your Boaz. But I'll leave it at that. Get your Boaz. But the bigger question is, and what I tell my friends is, while you're waiting for Boaz, are you developing the Ruth in you? Because unless you develop the Ruth in you, stop looking for Boaz. Y'all going to make me go there, but I don't want to do it. Because Boaz has cousins, and if you don't develop the Ruth in you, I hope y'all have seen the, I don't even want to, y'all going to make me cuss in church? It's a joke. So Boaz is spelled B-O-A-Z. Everybody say A-Z. A-Z. Right? And so if you don't develop your Ruth, you'll fall for broke ass and cheating Boaz. So anyway, that was that. So if you don't develop what's right inside of you, you won't catch the right person. You won't get your Boaz. You'll get his dirty cousins that you don't want. And so that was that segue. So the question for the needs issue is, have you ever felt like God wasn't meeting your needs? Have you ever felt like God wasn't meeting your needs? I have. I'll be the first to be honest. I have. And are you meeting, and here's the counter question, are you meeting God's needs? Which is, for me, is rarely even thought about. Like, God, you don't have needs? Yeah, he does. He created this relationship. If you say that you're in a relationship with Jesus, with God, then it's a normal relationship the way he designed it, which is mutually beneficial. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, he gave me a life. Now I'm serving the life that he gave me. And by serving that life, I'm serving him, and I'm honoring him, so I'm meeting my needs. When you answer to the call of God, you're meeting God's needs. Because remember, God could save the world with the snap of his finger if he wanted to, but he chose to integrate us into the game plan. We're the strategy. His plan, it was his plan to save the planet, to save people, but his strategy was mankind. And so then he has need of us. He tells us that he has need of us. We have needs. God has needs in relationship with us, with fellowship. with intimacy. He wants, and it benefits us. He wants intimacy with us. Prayer. Even in building the church that we all do here, we're building this church. This is something that God wants you to do. He wants you to be a part of this. He likes that you're a part of this. So I'm going to close with this and then we'll pray, but I always want to bring it back to Jesus, and here's a couple questions that I want to throw at you here. Jesus made a connection with you by what? How did Jesus make a connection to you? This is what I want you to go back into your memory. Think back on the day. Where did Jesus find you? We didn't find Jesus. He found us. Probably in a crazy dark place. But he found us. So Jesus made a connection with you by what? How? And I want you to think about that. And then Jesus met your needs. How? Let's take a moment as the band begins to play. I want to begin to pray. This is what I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I want to pray. And you might feel like you're being put on the couch, but maybe Jesus wants to put you on the couch and do some therapy for you today. Maybe Jesus wants to meet you in a real way for the first time today, or for the first time in a long time. Maybe this is the moment where Jesus wants, you've been crying out for help, saying, Jesus, I don't know how to get out of this mess that I'm in. Jesus, I don't know how I even got here. I know things go in stages and things progress incrementally, but I don't even know how I ended up here in this mess. But I need you to do it again. I need you to do what you did back then when you found me in my worst. Back then when you found me in my worst. And so every head bowed, every eye closed, just as for focus and a sign of respect. Thank you, Jesus. And so today, tonight, I want you to allow God to do a little bit of heart surgery for you in the area of your connections. And we're talking about relationships today. And simply put, to recap the message, Jesus wanted to establish the right kind of criteria and requirements for our earthly relationships. From the cross, he didn't just speak about our heavenly relationship and how it will be while we remain here on earth as he ascends to the Father, but he actually took it upon himself to take the time to say, this is how I want your earthly relationships to go. So Jesus cares about your earthly relationships. They're not secondary to the kingdom. They're inside of the kingdom. And so relationships matter, and they matter a lot to God. So I want you to begin to ask yourself and just open up in just your own way of praying, like, Jesus, tell me again, remind me of our first connection and how that actually was. It wasn't just a conversation, a hi and bye. It was hi, how you doing? And you exchanged something. There was an exchange. There was joy for tears. There was years of hurt for fullness in the heart. He exchanged something in your life. What were you doing, and where were you at when God healed your heart of all the pain from the past, the things that you've endured, the things that in our own books you were right for being angry at and remaining angry at, and you were like, God, unless you take this, and all of a sudden he's like, shh, and he touches you, and he takes it, and you feel this miraculous, like, how did that even happen? How did you take this away from me? And I want you to begin to think about how God meets your needs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My prayer for you is that you would be bold in the next few moments. That you'd let us pray for you. hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that I can do what you can't imagine. I can handle the things you're not bringing to me. I can handle the weight that's upon you. I can handle the sleepless nights, the loneliness. I can handle that. And he wants to do more than handle it. He wants to ease it, and he wants to fulfill it with himself. And you need to know this, that Jesus doesn't just stop there. He's not just fulfilling it with himself, with the person of Jesus. He's interested in having your needs met and fulfilled through human interaction too. God is not against healthy relationships. He's for and he establishes it. If that's you, and even to get more specific, if you just feel like, hey, I'm struggling in areas of needs, and I'm not going to get prophetic about that. I don't get up here and dime people out or expose or read their mail. I just want to touch and agree. You would say, yes, these are some needs. These are some relationship issues I have, and just generalize it, because Jesus knows the details, and he's the one that's going to walk you through every step. If that's you, and you're like, hey, I have some relationship needs and issues and concerns and all of the above, I want you to just stand to your feet right now and let me pray for you. Let me pray a general prayer and be bold, because when you step up, and you have to know me, I don't mean to embarrass anybody, and this is family in here. So nobody's looking at anybody sideways. It's all of us. So whatever you're comfortable with, but I want to just begin to pray for you and pray that God would, that you would get specific with the Lord, because we know if you're anything like me, like, you know, don't get in the habit of editing your message to God. Don't get in the habit of editing your prayer. Like, God knows it before the minute you thought about it. The very thing that you edited, God already knew about it. And so, God, we want to be honest before you. Those of you who are standing, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. And we're just going to play music and sing over you in just a little bit. And I'm just going to come around and some of the team is going to come around. And we're just going to begin to pray and just pray a prayer of agreement that God would begin to touch you right at your needs. And it doesn't have to be, it could be anything. There's a high percentage of people who are lonely, even people who seem to have a lot of friends around them. So Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now for my brothers and my sisters who are bold enough to stand and say, yes, God, I want you to touch me right here. I want you to do a work in me. And I have areas too, so I'm praying for the same things. Praying that God would release you from the bondage of the slavery that you were ensnared in by the enemy. I pray that you would receive even the words of this song, that God is unraveling you. Even through this melody, he's opening you up. He's making you more vulnerable. He's softening you because he wants to use you and put something and deposit something in you so that you can be the real you. So, Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, as we pray. God, thank you for these. Thank you for these who have needs, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you're doing a mighty work in the lives of your people right now. Lord God, touch them, Lord God, right at the core of the need. Touch them in their heart in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, every promise that is yes and amen. We agree with that, Lord God, that your promises still stand and that you're going to do it in their life, oh God. I pray that you would release them, Lord God, into a level of freedom. Release into a level of freedom right now, oh God. released into a level of freedom in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you right now as we close this service. I thank you, Lord God, that you are meeting needs right now. And that doesn't mean we're needy. It means we have needs, Lord God. And we thank you that you desire to meet needs. You delight in your children. You give us the desires of our hearts. So we claim that. We stand on that word tonight, Lord God. And Lord God, as we sing out of here and as we dismiss, oh God, I pray, Lord God, that tonight you would move. Tonight you would move. Tonight you would move. Tonight you would move. I just hear the Lord saying, trust. I hear the Lord saying, trust in even what looks uncommon. Because we don't trust what looks uncommon. And we label that. There's some things that we might label that ain't God. But really you don't know. You really don't know. And so you first have to give it to God and say, God, if this is you, show it to me. Reveal yourself in it. You don't have to move upon it, but you ask God to reveal himself in it so that you would know, because we need to know. We need to be certain about some things and not pass up on things because we're scared of it. But I pray right now for you that you'd have the courage and the ability to risk in faith things that you don't know about, because we don't know it all, but things that you don't know about, that you begin to risk in faith and put your faith on the line and test your faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Even when this doesn't even feel like you, because I don't feel you all the time, I'm still going to trust you. So that's a word for somebody who would receive that. You need to trust God in uncommon ways in this season. Trust God in uncommon ways. that's all I have. Let me bless you. Every family, every extended family, every child that's not here, every child that's being prayed for that's not in the faith, every brother, every sister that's not in the faith, everyone that's not in the faith that's connected to us, every mom, every dad. God, I pray that you just bring it about, that your Holy Spirit go out to them right now and begin to speak to them, Lord God, and create a divine connection, Lord God, for us to meet up and talk, Lord God, and have a conversation about who you are and what you've been doing in our life, Lord God. Let our lives be a testimony of the true love of Jesus. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, God. Let us not speak with malice, Lord, but be a strong testimony of grace and an abundant grace and love in Jesus' name, that your power may be made manifest and available and accessible to those who are looking and seeking. In the name of Jesus, somebody, if you believe that, shout amen. 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 Come on, stand to your feet.